Welcome to the Scaling Freelance Podcast, where successful freelancers, consultants, and solopreneurs tell us exactly how they started working for themselves and started to live a life on their own terms. Each episode features real stories packed with real salary numbers, business tactics, and lifestyle hacks that will inspire you to get serious about the business side of freelancing.
So my best month was May 2018. I probably brought in like close to $20,000.
$15,000, usually around $10,000 a month.
I think I did like $20,000 worth of photography gigs, which was extraordinary.
Come hang out with me and other growth-minded freelancers at scalingfreelance.com. I'm your host, Sean Crow, and here's today's episode. Hey, everybody. Our guest today is Jenna Lear. Jenna is the owner of Blue Louis Studio, which specializes in graphic design for small businesses and entrepreneurs. She creates brands for purpose-driven business owners so they can stand out, sell more, and make an impact. Jenna, are you ready to talk about scaling freelance?
Yes, I am. Excited to be here.
Awesome. Well, let's just start off with the basics. Tell us who you are and what type of work you do.
Yeah. So, hello everyone. My name's Jenna, obviously. And I am graphic designer by trade, but I actually am in the branding realm. So I'm a brand strategist and designer. I really aim to help purpose-driven entrepreneurs, specifically women. That's our niche, which we specialize in. But we aim to help them really create and grow a brand that's aligned to the bigger vision of their business, but also position them in a way that they can be recognized as a go-to expert and attract dreamy clients to your business.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Can you define purpose-driven for us? What does that piece mean?
Yeah, I really, I love when I get this question because I live in Cleveland, Ohio, and one thing Cleveland's really known for is nonprofits. And I do not specialize in nonprofits. Purpose-driven really speaks to someone who is running a company that has a mission, and you really aim to make an impact in some way. And even if that's just by helping your client step into the best version of themselves from a product or service-based standpoint. And I always like to believe even just client by client, it ends up being a snowball effect. And as cliche as it might sound, we end up changing the world in one small way.
Yeah, awesome. And give us a sense of like what a typical client looks like, maybe a few examples of what their businesses are and what, just what they do.
Absolutely. So I actually have clients that run the gamut, and I don't niche down so specifically into one industry because I kind of feel like I get a key into people's different, like into different people's worlds and get to like experience that. So I really love that side of what I do. But more to your point, I can think of one particular client who is launching a small batch artisan product-based business. And it's really around soaps and candles and self-care. And although her revenue is around selling her products, her mission is really to help women understand that self-care is very much a piece of your being and how to take care of your body with natural, organic, and raw products and being able to step into a better version of yourself because you are being cognizant and intentional with what you're putting on your body.
Cool. Yeah, that sounds really interesting. You get to work on some cool stuff.
Yeah. It's, you know, I always like to say it's, you know, when you talk about purpose-driven work, regardless of what your business is, it's so much bigger than the products or services that you offer. And so really being able to dive deeper into the mission with my clients is really fun on the brand strategy side.
Mm-hmm. So take us back to when you decided to go full-time freelance. Where were you at in life and how long ago is this?
You know, full-time freelance. Okay, so technically I would say this is about a year ago. About a year ago is when I no longer was in my full-time job or contract job and really stepped into Blue Louis full-time. And life is always crazy. Life is never, it's never a smooth transition. It's never something that's easy. you know, long story short, it actually was a situation where I was on a contract job. It was not a full-time employee. It was, there as a subcontractor, but I've been there for like 2 years.
Oh, wow.
And yeah. And it was really fun. I was really grateful for the opportunity. A lot of jobs throughout my career, I like hated, to be honest. Like they just like did not fill me, like fill my cup. And at this job, I really liked it. It was for a college. It was in the alumni division. It was in the marketing department. I like the people. I like what we did. And they actually were looking to bring someone on full time. They finally found the budget to bring on that employee. You'd think that I would get it. I had to go through all the hoops that you go through when it comes to collegiate, you know, being hired into a university, and somebody else got it. And I was like, are you kidding me? I was like, but you guys said you liked me.
That would make me but, so mad.
I was, you know, I had to give myself some time to just be mad, be upset, be sad. Mm-hmm. But I also had to look at it as I had asked, you know, God, the universe, really, how can I go full time in my business? How can I go full time doing what I think I'm really actually called to do? And that was my sign.
That was it. So that was the final straw, was you didn't get this job that it totally made sense that you should have gotten. So you took the leap.
I took the leap. No more. There was no point. At that point, I was like, if I can't like step into something fully that I actually like, that I'm not running myself, then it's time to step into something that I'm running myself, that I know that I can do my best work and make a bigger impact with. Mm-hmm.
So you got denied from this job offer. How did you find your first 5 clients? How did you know that you could pay rent that month?
Yeah. So I actually was, I don't like the word or the phrase side hustle, because I actually had been building my business 40 hours plus in addition to working 40 hours. Yep. And then I've been doing that for about 2 years. So when the time came to like take the sign from God, take the sign from the universe, like now's the time to go full time with Blue Louie, I had already had a system in place. But to answer your question, when I think back, like when I feel like a little baby just starting this journey, I did pro bono work for nonprofits. That's actually how I started.
Okay. And how did that turn into paying clients then?
Yeah. So, geez, if I can remember back that far, you know, I think in that particular avenue took me down a road of connecting in person and in my community. That's how a lot of people do it. Mm-hmm. And you know, one connection leads to another. You pick up a client here, you pick up a client there. But things really started to make a change for me when I decided to invest in a program for women who wanted to learn about business and becoming an entrepreneur. And in that program, not only did I learn everything I needed to know about being in business, most of the women in there were business owners and entrepreneurs, obviously. And I think I was the only designer/brand specialist. So I was able to really leverage that community and really, make connections there.
Was that an in-person program, or was this like an online course?
It was digital. It was digital, which, you know, my journey's really been non-traditional in the realm that I built my business 95%, you know, I'll bite the 5 clients I got through the pro bono nonprofit. The 95% of my business has been built digitally. So when I really started to take off and get incoming paying clients, they were all over the country, Canada, Florida, California, and I continue to build that way.
Cool. Yeah. So let's talk about how you get your current leads. What are the lead sources that you have, and how do you cultivate those?
Yeah. So, you know, honestly, I've gotten most of my leads through Facebook. I really have learned kind of how to work Facebook groups. And being in the digital realm, you know, I've really leveraged digital marketing. So opt-ins, creating funnels, gathering leads, putting out content for webinars, and then converting from there.
Okay. And is this your Facebook group, or are you providing advice and insight on other Facebook groups to get these leads?
Yeah. So I actually built and got my leads majority from other people's Facebook groups. That's how I got my in. Yeah.
What are the types of things you're posting then? Because it's a very fine line and in groups with moderators, right? Because if you do any self-promotion, you're out, right? So
Absolutely.
How do you balance that?
you have to be creative. You have to be creative with those hard boundaries in place. You have to get creative about the content that you're giving. I think Gary Vee kind of like explains this the best, where it's like give, ask. So I would put out content that would be inspirational. I would put out content that would be educational. And I would put out content where I would invite people to connect with me based on a webinar that I was hosting or some kind of free educational inspirational resource. Mm-hmm. That's how I started to gather my leads off social media and really into my own email list.
Okay. So how many hours a week then are you spending on these threads?
So I actually, you know, I'm in my fourth year right now and I don't utilize that strategy so much anymore. Okay. To answer your question, the short answer is a lot. but I'm, you know, moving into the fourth year, I've really built out my own system. This year I shook things up and started to grow my community locally. So now we're, you know, I have a Facebook group of 300 women that we actually meet in person locally. Wow. And being able to put on events that speak to my mission and how I'm showing up and trying to make an impact, I've really been able to cultivate this community, and it's been a beautiful thing that way.
Okay, so would you say the majority of your projects then are from your networking efforts and just being the host of the party, as Gary Vee says?
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of my networking online has really been, you know, adding value. But this year I've started to step into my leadership and really look at how I can lead and make an impact, give back, but also grow my business. Mm-hmm. And it is being a host of the party. Absolutely.
Cool. And I think earlier you said our and not I. So do you have other people that you work with in your agency?
Yeah. So I'm also in scale mode. So, you know, adding an assistant, I have developers that I work with when we do website projects. I handle the front end. They handle the technical back end. So it is never, you know, it is a team in one way or another. It's never just me doing everything. I think my head would explode.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so is it just you full time and then you contract out as needed?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Cool. That's awesome. Tell us about that process of why, like, what happened where you were like, all right, it's time that I need to hire contractors?
Yeah. Well, you know, from websites from the beginning, I'm a graphic designer by trade. I know web, I know technical backend, but I don't like doing it. And I'm a very big believer in staying in your zone of genius. So I actually started to cultivate connections and relationships with developers early on. That was always a part of our website process. Yeah, but really looking at an assistant, I brought on some interns first, kind of went that route. One of my interns turned into my assistant. Okay. And really handling some things that just don't make me happy and are busy work. So a lot of times that would look like my emails, or that would look like my social, or it would look like finding a venue for an event. I'm busy working with my client on client projects. That's my first priority. So she tends to handle all of the extra stuff, which is important, but it's important to delegate too.
100%. Yeah. Is she working with you in an office in person, or is everybody virtual?
Everybody's virtual. She happens to be local, but everybody stays virtual. I like the idea of being able to pick up my laptop and being able to work from Alaska if I have to.
Yep, 100%. I'm leaving for Santa Fe tomorrow, so I'm working for 10 days. My brother lives out there, so
yeah. Doing the same thing. Yeah, it makes life easier.
Yeah. Would you say, how impactful was it for you to hire that admin? Because it's really time consuming when you're managing your network and trying to get leads and trying to close projects and trying to schedule sales calls and all these emails. When you're doing it, you're like, I don't need to hire somebody. But as soon as you hire somebody, for us at least, it was mind blowing how much time it was saved.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to be honest, like, it's not easy to hire someone, and it's not easy to hand off the projects, not only from, not so much from a control place, but from a now I feel like I have a second job because now I have to acclimate them to how to work this and how to, like, what are we trying to embody? What's the process? How do they adhere to that? And it's hard in the beginning. It really is. And to find the right person, right? Not everyone's a good fit for what you need. So once you can get over that hump, then you can be like, okay, cool. Like, I'm starting to get a system in place that actually is running more, you know, not completely on its own, but a little less with me.
Yeah, for sure. So you said you're in scale mode right now. Can you tell us what that means for you? How are you measuring scale?
Yeah. So scale mode, you know, I would say if you had asked me in the beginning of the year, I would say, look, we're looking to add like a small team. We're looking to, you know, really get some processes in place. And once you take a step back after, I'd say a good 3 years, you're like, okay, what needs to fix? So we can, you know, get fixed, get organized, so we can go bigger and be better. But I ended up like kind of blowing up my business in the beginning of the year as you know, cause I wasn't like, you know, I was bored or something, but, I ended up blowing things up from a place of wanting to put out different offers and wanting to look at the customer journey and really just kind of taking everything apart so that we could put it back together bigger and better. And so I would say from a scale perspective, we are looking to add people, and I say we because it's never going to be just me, even though I'm at the front of everything. But I'm also taking a step back and looking at what do my ideal clients need and how can I serve and make a bigger impact, which means my services, products, events, everything is being tested right now.
Got it. So you're just trying to do more of everything, really?
Not more of everything. I would say be more strategic with what we're doing. Because I would say, here's the difference. Operating as a freelancer, you know, a lot of times when you work with go in and work with different companies, you know, they give you the projects, right? They say, this is what we need. This is when we need it. This is how much we can pay for it. When you are finding your own clients and when you're really looking to serve a specific target audience, their needs change. And so, yes, I can go in and do a logo. Yes, I can go in and do a website. But on my end, that may be what they need. But on my end, I have to look at, is that sustainable? Mm-hmm. Where does the money come in after that website's done? What's the journey? How can I upsell, downsell, or add them to some kind of funnel, right? And I think that's the difference between being strategic as a freelancer and really moving to scale mode is looking at those offerings, not just one-off things that you don't know where your next meal is coming from afterwards.
Yep. Got it. That makes total sense. So are you actively pitching businesses for work, or are all 100% of your leads inbound?
I would say it's, you know, I've gotten this far and I'm not going to say completely from luck, but I'd say most of my stuff has been inbound. I'm starting to put together a different package this year where we want to serve more higher end clients, which means it's more all inclusive. And I feel like pitching is going to come into the fold for those type of things.
Yeah. I mean, it always surprises me in all these conversations I've had, pretty much everyone says it's all referrals. No, I think one person I've interviewed has said I actively pitch companies.
Yeah. You know, it's funny that you say that because I actually don't operate on referrals. All of my leads and all of my efforts are out there. It is inbound, but it's from attraction. It's not from referrals. I would say maybe 10% referrals.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
Yeah. You've
really built up this online presence, whether it's SEO or just your content and your webinars. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I would say basically content. And then also I'm a brand guru. So yeah. My job is literally to teach other people how to do what I'm doing for myself and from the brand perspective. And that's very much a part of what I preach, is putting your brand out there, letting it do the work for you and attracting the right people.
Mm-hmm. So what are your business goals over the next like 6 or so months?
Yeah, I'm always asking people this and then I get asked this and I'm like, I don't know. like I said, I can't believe it's July already, but like going about blowing things up in the beginning. I actually have a program that is open for 2 more weeks until the doors close. And then that program is going to be underway for the next 3 months, which is really exciting. And that's around brand strategy work that I do. From there, I think I'm going to start laying out some ideal clients that I would love to work with when it comes to this more higher end all-inclusive package. That's where the pitching is going to come into place. And really looking at what this community that I've built up needs and trying to serve from that perspective. Which is fun. That's been a wave that I've really ridden without a lot of structure or rules, and it's turned out really well.
Yeah, that's cool. What do you think the most important thing is that you've done over the last 4 years running your agency that's boosted, whether it's sales or more projects? Is there one thing that you're like, that's the thing that did it for me?
Yeah. I would say, you know, and this comes from my mentor too. When I found her, I was like, because we're on the same page with this. It's really like leading from a message standpoint, leading from a movement standpoint. I feel like a lot of people that are in business try to say, oh, here's who we are, here's what we sell. But in being purpose-driven and mission-driven, taking a step back and saying, you know, how can we serve? Like, what's going to make the biggest impact for you? And being able to see people and have those conversations with those other business owners and have them understand, like, we're here to support you. And we're not after a sale. We're after you stepping into your leadership as a business owner. And how can we serve from that perspective? So that's the long answer. Short answer is lead with a message and a mission.
Got it. Start with the why.
Yeah, more or less. A lot of times there's personal whys and there's business whys. But if you can have a really tailored mission and message that you're consistently showing up with, that contributes to brand recognition, but it also contributes to you feeling confident in how you're able to show up in these pitch meetings.
Yeah, for sure. I love that. So if somebody listening is just starting their freelancing journey or thinking about quitting their job, what advice would you have for them?
Don't quit your job. Don't quit your job until you have a system in place. I learned this the hard way. and you could save some wrinkles on your face. But no, you know what? Here's the thing when it comes to day jobs, like they're your biggest investor, truly. So if you're trying to go big with your freelancing business and it's not just like a side hustle or a side gig, which is okay too, but if you want to go big with it, stick with the day job, figure out a system, get some processes in place, and know that you have an investor in your back pocket that a lot of entrepreneurs don't. And it takes a lot of headaches to be able to you know, come home at night and know that no matter how you're building, no matter what mistakes you make, you still have an investor coming in, and you'll know when it's time to make the leap.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, let's get into the final freelancer fave five questions.
Okay. So,
number one, in terms of revenue, what is the best month you've ever had?
I think May was actually my best month.
Oh yeah.
Are we talking numbers? Should I throw that off?
If you can share numbers, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. So, I think it was a little over 21K.
Hell yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a big win. That was a lot of work, guys, but it was refreshing to sit back and say, like, I did that.
Cool. Number two, what is your favorite book or a few books that have affected the way you run your business?
Big Magic by Elizabeth Gilbert. If you're a creative entrepreneur, freelancer, go read that book. It's huge. It'll change the way that you approach all the fear that comes up when you're doing this crazy road.
I think I have that in Audible and I haven't listened to it yet.
Oh, it's going to blow your mind. Go listen to it. Super, super good. And then Jen Sincero, You Are a Badass and You Are a Badass at Making Money. She just has a really unique and approachable way of telling her story. And yeah, it's not stuffy at all. So if you're looking for a fun read or a fun listen, I do Audible too. Go get the Badass series.
Awesome. What are some of the software tools that you pay for that you use to grow your business?
Yeah. So I stay pretty savvy when it comes to, I'm not one who overbuys on tools and stuff like that. So definitely Adobe, you know, the Adobe suite, that's essential to running the business. PayPal, Zoom, we're looking at MoonClerk, but yeah. So MoonClerk is a processor that you can integrate with your website. It does a whole slew of things, but it connects with Stripe. So there's payment capabilities, but there's also some embedding and forms and reoccurring audience payments. So
okay, so it's a payment provider, but with maybe some marketing things on top.
Yeah, it's not a direct thing. Like I said, it's connected to Stripe, but it's got a lot of capability in terms of how you help, how people can process with you, whether it's reoccurring, whether it's subscriptions, stuff like that. So,
all right, number four, what other freelancer or micro business owner are you currently following?
You know what I really love, and this is a good resource too, is he calls himself Andy J. Pizza from the Creative Pep Talk. I don't know if you've heard of his podcast.
I don't know that.
So he's an illustrator, but he started his podcast and he's really grown from there. And so not only is it really great to hear his podcast, but it's great to see his journey too and really take inspiration from that.
Cool. Yeah, I'll look that one up. All right, number five, if you could tell your younger self one thing, what would that be?
Oh, geez. sleep more. I feel like I haven't slept in 10 years. Sleep more. It's
true.
Okay.
I couldn't agree with you more on that.
Yeah, it seems simple, but good advice.
Yeah. So if any listeners want to find out more about you or the things you do and what your services are, where would they go?
The best place to kind of catch all the links is our website. So blueloustudio.com and this Louis, L-O-U-I, not with me. And you can catch our Instagram, Facebook links through there. I would check out our Instagram too. A lot of our really great visual design work is on there. So Blue Louis Studios with an S at the end.
Awesome. Well, Jenna, thank you so much for being on the show. This was great.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was fun to chat about this.